When you take a trip to the mountains, which are here right at our doorstep, and you look at them, what do you feel besides wonder and awe? Do you think that God enjoys and delights in these mountains as well as you do, or as much as you do? Is God proud of His handiwork? Does it ever cross your mind that when you are standing there and you are marveling at all of this, that it is God's world? He owns it. You and I, we are tenants in this world. But not just tenants who live here, but we are tenants who have a job to do, and that is to care for this earth. Well, you may ask, what does all of that have to do with our story that we are talking about, or mission? We try not to use that word too many times, but because it has certain connotations that it triggers in us, we want to widen our perspective in terms of what that means and what God had in mind when He talks about mission, because mission is not our invention. Mission is not even Jesus' invention. Mission is God's invention. God is a God of mission. God is a God who sends. God is a God who is reaching out, who has done so from the very first moment of the existence of this earth. What does it have to do with mission? Before we dig into this a little more deeply, I just have to make a confession. Because I had to change my mind over the last several years, over the years of my ministry, when it comes to the topic that we will touch on today. I grew up in a Christian home, in a Christian environment, and it was pretty much dominated by a certain eschatology. Eschatology is the teaching of last things. And one of the things that was highlighted often is, well, we are waiting for the new heaven and the new earth. And since we do so, we never said it this way, but this was in our mind. Since we do so, we don't have to take care of this earth. All these jazz about environment and all that stuff, that is nothing that really we as Christians should be concerned about. We are waiting for the new heaven and the new earth. Anyone grown up this way as well? With this kind of thinking? As I said, it was never said maybe that way, but we thought that way. You know, why take care of all of this? And as I've said throughout the years and reading, studying, and recently, again, anew, by studying the book of Genesis and all the background and all of that, I had to change my mind. And we will see why and how. And as we enter into this topic this morning, and God willing, next week as well, it will help us to understand that God's scope has always been larger than our scope. That He is always bigger than we are. That He is always more wider in His perspective and everything that He does than we are as human, finite human beings. So here are some discoveries that help us to understand the scope of mission when we talk about mission, but that is often not written about, not talked about, not really included in all of this because we think often it's secondary. But here it is. Let's look at some of the things that we discover when we study the Bible. First, very foundational discovery is God's story starts and ends with the earth. God's story starts and ends with the earth. It starts with the creation story. What did God create? Human beings first? No, He started to create this earth as a realm where we are supposed to live. How does the Bible end? Those who know the Bible, read the Bible. We know the last book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation, how does it end? With a new Jerusalem, with a new earth, and God coming and making His dwelling among us. Oh, wait a minute. What did we say? God coming and making His dwelling among us. Let's keep that in mind when we talk about this. So here's a very, as I said, a very profound way of looking at the Bible. The Bible starts with creation, the creation story, and it ends with a description of the new earth. We have pointed out that God is a God who is on mission. And God invites us, human beings, into His mission. It is His mission, not ours. Mission, as I said before, is not something that we Christians invented, nor did Jesus. It is mission that is from God. Mission is about sending. Mission is about sending out, reaching out, And the first sending of people is found in the creation story. We are called to rule over God's earth. In this creation story, this is the first call that He called humankind to be participated in, is to reign and to rule over this earth. And by the way, over entire scripture, it is never revoked. Never called back. Never said, oh no, I'm not into this anymore. Now there's something new. It has always been the viewpoint of the early Jewish followers of God and then our Christians that this is God's earth and we humans are placed into God's earth with a job to do. It was not to evangelize the nations. It was to rule as kings over His earth. Let's listen how the first Israelites may have sensed this and how they expressed this. In Genesis 1, 26, 28, they said, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over every living creature that moves on the ground. Several things to highlight, which we have already done in some of the stuff when we talked about Genesis. So God made humankind in His image. And there's a lot to be said to this, and there's a lot written about this. There's several aspects to the way how this is written and what this meant and how the first Jewish readers of the story, what they meant with that. But part of that is that He created us in His likeness so that we are able to rule and reign over this earth. That He gives us authority to take His place on this earth, to take a stewardship role over this earth. We are God's images. You may have heard this before, that in the time without pictures and movies, kings put their image in forms of statues at the farthest ends of their kingdoms. It was very common to do. Under the Roman Empire, it was very normal to have Caesars, you know, or pictures of Caesars everywhere in the Roman Empire. And it stretched quite a bit. And the meaning of that was that they gave all of those who watched those or saw those statues the impression that the Caesar is here. His power reaches to the furthest ends of this kingdom. Now, when God makes us as His image bearers, then we have the similar function because it comes out of the same environment in which this was written. That we have this obligation to be now God's image bearers in this world. In other words, to say God is present on this earth. And we as human beings bear His image to remind people around us God is still here on this earth. And we have the task to reign and to rule over His creation on His behalf. It says again in verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and every living creature that moves on the ground. To subdue, the word means most likely has to do with agriculture. That you utilize this earth to make this the resource for your survival. We'll talk about this, God willing, next week a little bit more, but just thinking about it, you know, that we subdue this earth, meaning that we do agriculture, gives you and me something to eat. You know, that the grass grows, gives cows something to eat on. And the cows provide all kinds of resources for us, from food to any kind of leather and everything else. There is an interconnectedness with all of that that is on this earth. We cannot live without it. We are dependent on this earth. And God says, subdue it. Make it useful for you as kings, as human beings. And then He says to rule over it. Actually, the word literally means to enslave it. To make it, to exercise dominion over this earth. Take lordship. Take rulership. And as I said, God has never repealed this mandate. God is the owner of this property called earth, and we are the tenants with this instruction to take care of God's earth. Go back to that moment when you stand there before the Rocky Mountains. Does it ever cross your mind that beyond the awe and the wonder that this is your and my job to take care of this, to take care of this on God's behalf, so that the entire earth has food to eat and that everyone has enough to survive? That's our job. That's what humankind are called to be, and friends, not just Christians, but humankind. Every single human on earth. God did not create Christians. He created humans. And humans have this task to bring this, to rule over this earth. But the second thing we also need to read out of this text when we look at the Old Testament as a whole is that we are called to resemble how God reigns. So when we are the image bearers of God, then we also need to resemble His character. To resemble the way how He would do that. How would God rule over this earth? What would He be like? How would He do this? What is His character? So this is not just then put into our imagination to figure that out. It is related to the fact that we need to have a close look now at God. We need to look at Him. We need to study Him. We need to know Him so that we truly resemble Him. And not to take anything away as we look into this more in detail, but we know how that all went. Because humankind at the early stages of creation decided we can do it on our own. And we know better what to do. We don't need God. We don't need His advice. We don't need His rulership. We don't need Him to be over us. We can do it on our own. We live in our own resources. And this disconnection led to all kinds of things that we deal with up to this very day. That we have anxiety. That we have the feeling of shortage of resources. That we need to hoard. That we need to pile up stuff because we are afraid we don't have enough. That was never God's intention. We were always meant to live out of the fullness of His resources. Never to worry about the things that this earth has not enough. But what have we done over the centuries? And I'm not here to hold political lectures or any of this stuff, but it should part of that should interest us. That we live in our Western world on the shoulders and on the exploitation of other countries so that we can buy certain things cheap. That's how our world functions nowadays. Do you think that has anything to do with how God meant this earth to work? Would you think that God is ruling over this earth as a fair and just ruler who loves every human being, no matter what color and what kind of race and where they are from, that He's interested in everyone's well-being, how they live on His earth that He created? Don't you think that God would be interested in that? Don't you think that He loves every creation that He made, and especially humans? So how would God rule over this earth if we are supposed to resemble that? And here let me read some verses out of Psalm 145 that we saw already briefly in this video. It says in verse 7 to 9, they celebrate your God's abundant goodness. Creation. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that He has made. Let this sink in. On all. God has compassion on all that He has made. Not just me. You know, we're so self-centered because we soak it up all that we can get. And often forget that, for example, we prayed the Lord's Prayer. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father in heaven. And we love to turn it into my Father in heaven. We are always part of a group, part of a larger family, never to be alone. And we don't have single dips on the Father that nobody else has. We are always part of a community, never alone, especially not before the Father. We are part of His creation. We are part of what God created. We live with the resources that He created and how He formed this. Let's go to continue some other verses out of this psalm. The Lord is trustworthy in all He promises and faithful in all He does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to You, and You give them their food at the proper time. You open Your hand and You satisfy desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and faithful in all He does. The Lord is near to all who call Him, to call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears the cry and He saves them. What image comes to your mind when you think of a God like that? Merciful, gracious, giving, helpful, reaching out to all. God's reign, with some other words that may summarize, is characterized by wisdom, by power, by goodness, grace, by compassion, by faithfulness, generosity, provision, protection, justice, love. Those are the markers of God. And now listen, you and I, as human beings, believe that we are created in God's image. That means we bear some of those character qualities in us. And that is true. In some form, every human being carries that in him or herself. Because people are able to be good to one another. They're able to do that. Neighbors are able to be good to another neighbor, to do something good. And you look at some disasters when they happen, how sometimes neighborhoods can gather together and help in ways that is beyond imagination. People are able to do this. And friends, this is God's image in you, in us. That people have this capacity, this capability of being good to one another. But we also know how this was marred. This picture of God, this image of God, that there is always then this thing in us that we become selfish because we are afraid that we're not taken care of. This is part of the sin, that what the Bible calls sin, that has come into this and messed it all up. But we do have this capacity. We are able to be good neighbors. We are able to be good. We're able to be friendly. However, turning away from God and His unlimited resources makes us reliant on our own resources. And that's where fear comes in, where greed comes in, where hate comes in, where suspicion comes in, where sinfulness is revealed. Christ came to restore humanity to be truly humans. And if you will, Christ was the perfect human. How Christ lived on this earth was the perfect picture of a human being. What God always intended to be. Now look at His life. Look how He lived. Look how He related to people of all kinds, of all backgrounds. Wasn't it a life of grace? Of mercy, of love, of friendliness, of reaching out to those who are in need. And Christ came not just to be this example, but to restore that in us. That we are coming back to those things, that we put our trust in God again, that we live in dependence on Him and assume our role that God intended for us to be those stewards over His kingdom and His earth. And the next that we learn is that we are called to serve for the earth's benefit. The nature of our reign is that of a steward. The earth is not ours. It's not for us to exploit. We are God's, if you will, general managers who are put in place to take care of what He owns. So it's always that we live in this connection with Him and do and reign in a way that is honoring Him. It says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. That's our job. To work it, meaning doing hard work. The word actually is a very strong word. To do hard work in the process of serving and to take care of it, to keep something safe, to protect it, to be watchful over this, to treat it as something serious and worthy of our attention. Ruling and serving is humanity's first mission on earth. It is the mission of all humans, not just Christians. But as Christ followers, we take God serious and we do this wholeheartedly because we join in His call to preserve His earth. Ruling and serving was then also the mission of the people of Israel and their kings. They were to exemplify God's reign on earth. And if you will, go home and study the book of Samuel and 1 and 2 Kings and look what they did. how they reigned, how they ruled. Did they truly represent the heavenly God or did they not? Well, we know the story. But in Psalm 72, it gives us some idea what this reign and what this reign was supposed to look like. Here's a prayer for the king. It says, God, grant the king the ability to make just decisions. Grant the king's sons the ability to make fair decisions. Then he will judge your people fairly and your oppressed ones equitably. The mountains will bring news of peace to the people, and the hills will announce justice. He will defend the oppressed among the people. He will deliver the children of the poor and crush the oppressor. Do you see the connection of the earth, well-being, and good rain? Where it says, the mountains will bring good news of peace, if that all happens. And the hills will announce justice. The earth will do well if there are good people who reign under God's reign and do what he wanted them to do, to represent him, his love, his care. Justice in the Old Testament is not just impartiality, you know, to stick your nose out of it and to not mingle in some conflict. That's not justice. Justice was that you actively step in, that those who are wronged are vindicated, that those who are oppressed will be delivered, and that those who are vulnerable and weak have their voices heard and their cases attended to. Isaiah writes about this in his vision of the coming kingdom of God in this latter chapters. And Jesus, interestingly enough, picks up on this on his first sermon that he preaches in his hometown. He reads from Isaiah 41 and he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to whom? To the poor. He has sent me to proclaim and release the captives and regaining the sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim a favor, the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's favor. Isn't that interesting? The global mission under which God, Jesus found himself, he said, I'm anointed to bring healing to those who are sick, who are suffering, the blind, the captives, the poor. And what did Jesus do? Exactly that. Exactly that. That is exactly what he did when he came on this earth and we ministered. He did not just sit in church and preach good news. He did not just take the Bible and hold it in front of the nose of people and say, hey, you need to read the Bible. No, he did good. He extended his reign by being a representative, the true, the only, if you will, true representation of the Father in heaven. And if you saw Jesus, you saw God. You saw him meeting people, how he deals with them. And Proverbs, it says, open your mouth on behalf of those unable to speak, for the legal rights of all who are dying. Open your mouth, judge in righteousness, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Well, we'll explore all of this in more detail. But let's hear this message. When we talk about mission, the first and foremost call that you and I have is to be a good citizen. To be a good citizen, because that gives us credibility in our message that we deliver about Jesus Christ. That we are good citizens, the good neighbors. That we are people who truly represent our Father in heaven well in the way how we live and how we extend grace and love and mercy and friendliness. And then live out the message that made us to be who we are. Our mission includes the care for God's earth, for this environment that makes life possible. And we cannot just live here and pretend as if the earth, as everything is well, but that we have a responsibility to reach out to those who are not doing well, who are living in poverty because we are not caring for them. That we also watch over the earth resources and not just use them for our own profit, so that our bank accounts are full, but that we use them to distribute them evenly. And friends, this has so far-reaching implications that we often, over the last centuries, have missed. And I'm glad that in the last years, Christians wake up to their call to be part of this earth that we live in and to be conscious about what we do with our resources, how we use them, so that others can just live a safe life. See, we cannot just go into the jungle and preach them about Jesus and don't care about the fact that they have no resources to live on and don't care about the fact that they cannot work, that they're exploited by other big companies. We cannot just do this. Our testimony is not credible if we are not really having a global vision and start thinking about this, praying about this, being actively involved in this. But let me close with this today. We are called to join creation in worship. In the end, this is where it is rooted, in worship. See, worship is not just a thing that we do on Sunday morning, and I hope you understand that. Worship is not just singing certain songs that we love to sing. It's part of it. But worship is our heartfelt response to God's goodness. And that's a lifelong learning that we respond to the goodness with which God showers us from every day. That we see it around us, that we receive it in so many ways, and that we give back to Him our response of worship and acknowledge the God of all creation, that God is a good God, that God is a good Father, that we have so many things that we are blessed with, and that we take time to bring it back to God. And won't you believe that if we do this, if we truly live in this kind of inner worship to God, that this will influence the way we live, the way we respond to our other human beings, and even to this earth? Remember the question that I asked at the very beginning? Do you think God is proud of what He did? How can I afford, if He is, if He says every time He creates something, it was good? How can I dismiss it and say, well, I don't care about this earth? If I am a person who lives in worship of this God, who responds to this God and says, God, You are awesome in what You have made. Isn't that one of the things that those mountains create in us? Worship and awe. But if we do this properly, then it will change our lives. Then we say, God, I want to represent You well. I want others to see that You are loving God, that You are caring God, that You are so rich in mercy that I am also a person who is rich in mercy. And bring this back in our environment where we live. Yes, in our families, in our marriages, in our workplaces and schools. That we are people who represent God well. Let me close with this psalm that is one of the many psalms that teach us what it means to live in this worship. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the sky. Praise Him in the heavens. Praise Him, all angels. Praise Him, all heavenly assembly. Praise Him, O sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shiny stars. Praise Him, O highest heaven and you waters above the sky. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He gave the command and they came into existence. He established them so they would endure. For He issued a decree that will not be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth. You sea creatures and all you ocean depths. O fire and hail, snow and clouds. O stormy winds that carry out His orders. You mountains and all you hills. You fruit trees and all you cedars. You animals and all you cattle and creeping things and birds. You kings of the earth and all you nations, you princes and all you leaders on this earth, you young men and you young women, you elderly along with your children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty extends over the earth and sky. He has made His people victorious and given His loyal followers reasons to praise. For the Israelites, the people who are close to Him, praise the Lord. Let's do that. Let's pray. God, we just want to take a moment and be aware of the fact that we live on Your earth. That this earth feeds us. This earth gives us air to breathe. This earth gives us all the resources that we can make it from day to day. It is Your earth. And this earth is giving You glory. It's a sign of Your wisdom. A sign of Your love. And God, when You made all these things, at least in the imagination of our Israelite forefathers, You looked at all of this and You said, oh, it was very good. It was very good. You're pleased. You were pleased with all of this. God, we also stand here to admit that we have not taken this role seriously, that we have dismissed it, that we are so selfish that we also always look out for us first before we think of our neighbor, and especially those who live far from us. Forgive us. Forgive us of our negligence to take care of this earth, that this is Your place where You reveal Your glory. And even in our psalm, we have heard that even creation is giving you worship. How could we not join in them and with them and be part of this worship song that is being sung from all creation, and that we as humans join in it and praise you as our God and Father? Father, forgive us that we are so quiet about this. Forgive us that we are so self-absorbed. Forgive us that we are so small-minded and forget about the fact that we are here for a purpose, that we are stewards over your earth. And as we are, we bring the good news to all people of this earth by how we live, that we are good citizens of this earth, that we participate in saving this earth and making it livable for as many people as possible. God, help us that we can see again the mission to which you have called us, that we are those people who truly represent you well. And as we go out into this week, help us to be reminded of the fact that we are called to do this with our brothers and sisters who live with us on this earth. Help us to be reminded of the fact that we are your representatives wherever we are. When we leave this place today, even while we're here still, we are to reflect your glory, your goodness in everything we do and say. Give us grace to that, and thank you for your Spirit who will enable us to do so. We pray all this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.